Confucius once said, "To see what is right and not to do it is want of courage or of principle." Now, before you give me that look, I haven't gone off philosophical, but I do want to look a little bit at courage today. And while that quote from Confucius, it's not the exact direction I want to take, it is a neat place to start. So again, to see what is right and not to do it is want of courage or of principle. And we'll come back to this a little bit later. So we know that our God, He always does right. As Abraham said in his prayer in Genesis 18, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" The children of Israel, they were commanded to do right. And we read this in Deuteronomy 6. "And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you." As disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to do right, as we read in the book of James. "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." So if we understand and recognize what is right, why are we not doing it? Why are we not doing what we know we should be doing? And according to Confucius, this is because we lack courage or are lacking principles. So for me, and I'll wager for a lot of believers, it surely is a lack of courage. So we know what we should be doing. I remember Paul says this a lot, doesn't he? But often we feel that it is harder than what we can manage by ourselves. And sometimes maybe we just don't know how to begin. And often we're just afraid. So from my last external quote, an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court in America once said, "Courage is about doing what you are afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you're scared. Have the courage to act instead of react." So we're thankful that we serve a merciful Father in heaven who will give us no more than what we can handle. And Paul tells us in Corinthians, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." So our goal then is to do the right thing. When we see that something should be done, we begin by doing the best that we can with what we have at that stage in our lives. So we may feel inadequate for the task, but we can reassure ourselves, as Paul did, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So the second reason why we do not do what we know is right, according to Confucius, is want of principle. Now, what does it mean to be unprincipled? So, by simple definition, an unprincipled person follows no moral code or has no integrity and should not be trusted. So, an unprincipled person is not living a life that is right by others. So, while we may have low times in our lives, I don't think that unprincipled is a term that would describe any of us. So perhaps Confucius' first suggestion, that it's a lack of courage, maybe that's the key. So many of God's chosen leaders have lacked courage. And God tells Abraham after he battled the kings. God tells Abraham after his battle, "So fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." So, and God tells Moses, when he was facing a battle, "Do not fear him, for I have given him into your hand." And so long after Moses had died and the millions of Israelites were sort of under the command of Joshua, Joshua no doubt lacked courage as well. But God reassures him several times. Here's one: "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And we know that Joshua, he obeyed in spite of his fears, and led the children of Israel across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. So I'm not often quote heavy in my exhorts, but we're going to deviate from that a little bit today. So feel free to just listen in rather than turning up, otherwise we're flipping pages all over the place. So next section then. When King Asa needed courage, we read in 2 Chronicles 15, "The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, 'Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you.' And later he said, 'But you, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded.' As soon as Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Azariah the son of Oded, he took courage. And he removed the idols throughout the regions and repaired the altar of the Lord." So God knows that sometimes we lack the courage we should have or we want to have. And often he sends someone to help us or to show us. When Jesus was in his final hours in Gethsemane, God sent an angel to strengthen him. When the Apostle Paul was traveling to Rome as a prisoner, we read, "And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage." So we can be so thankful knowing that the Lord, that our God, knows all about us. And when we are lacking courage, he will strengthen us. Sometimes the messengers he sends are weak, just like us, maybe our peers. But we can help each other through words of encouragement. And not only can we gain strength from each other, we can also get strength from our own personal study of the scriptures, where we read on how others tackled this challenge of courage and how they reacted or acted. So what we have looked at so far has not been totally positive and encouraging, mentioning the battle, well, anyway, but it does help to illustrate how important courage is. So with this idea of courage in mind, let's read a few more verses and let scripture speak to us. And I will say, by cherry picking a few verses, but really, even when we cherry pick these verses, they're still of great help to us. So while we go through these, we can just remind ourselves of the great and constant courage that we see in the life of our Lord Jesus and others in the Bible. So God wants us to be in his kingdom, and he sent his son to show us the way. So let's take courage in that fact. So the first verse of this section, I want to read a really special one from Joshua 1 verse 9. And as I mentioned, well, we mentioned it earlier, "But the words were spoken to the people before they crossed the Jordan as they entered the Promised Land. 'Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" So the message here for us is obvious, isn't it? Our God is always with us. So here's a couple of verses from the Psalms and Proverbs. I'll just read them in quick succession. Psalms 31. "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." Psalms 46. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their strength." So God is our refuge and strength. And a similar one in Psalms 16. "I keep my eyes on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." Now, it's a lot easier said than done to put our trust in the Lord and to take courage. And I haven't got all the answers, or many at all, but as always, the Bible doesn't leave us in the lurch. It always shows us some of the why and the how of things. So let's keep reading. So in Psalms 31, "Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait on the Lord. So in simple terms, faith is key. And in the next passage from Proverbs, we can see that it ties in strongly with trust. So we know all this already, of course. But I find that reminding myself of these things on a periodic basis is very helpful. So in Proverbs 3, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." The focus there, "and He will make straight your paths." So continuing on, in Jeremiah 29, there's a verse that is more targeted to the people at that time, but the same idea applies to us, that God has a plan for us, and He wants us there for it. So Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, we read, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek and find me when you seek me with all your heart." In Daniel 10, we read of a more direct form of courage. And while we may not experience the same things today, maybe, we can still be encouraged by it. So Daniel was afraid, and in verse 19 of Daniel 10, the angel said, "O man greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage." And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened. So I'm almost there with the verses, but let's press on. In 2 Corinthians 1, we read about comfort. In verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." We can take great courage in the comfort granted us by God. So a couple more. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." And we've got the classic in Isaiah 40 verse 31. "They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, as with all my exhorts, no exhort's complete without maybe a tiny takeaway point or a bit of homework or whatnot. So today's one is from Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. And we read, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. But let each of us please his neighbour for his good to build him up." So as we go about our lives, let's see if we can let the small matters slide. And in doing so, we can help to build up the courage of another. Or maybe without noticing it, someone else is doing just that for us. Maybe they're building us up. Isn't that such a nice thought? So my final quote before wrapping up is from John 16:33, where Christ himself says to his disciples, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." So, as we come to the emblems now, let us remember Christ's example and how powerful Scripture was in giving him courage, and how both Christ and Scripture are such a powerful example to us, those that have gone before. We can quote those to ourselves, and we can always remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.